Chapter 20. The month of Tishri brought the first autumn rains. The parched brown fields drank in the moisture. The soil fell back, dark red behind the plow, rich for the fall sowing. In the roads, after a sudden shower, the puddles shone like pools of melted lead. There were no meetings in the watchtower now. The boys of the band moved cautiously, not daring to be seen too frequently with each other. Soon they whispered as they passed. They would begin again. They would build up once more their store of weapons. They would make ready for the day to come. But there was no eagerness in the whispers. They knew in their hearts that the day would not be soon. They had lost faith in the mountain. In the steaming dimness of his shop, Daniel labored to the limits of each day's strength. Unable to lift the hammer, he filled his time with light tasks, filing, smoothing, and polishing, trying to ignore the pain in his shoulder. He cursed the pile of untouched work. He longed to beat a wall of furious sound against his own thoughts. At night, in the roof shelter he now shared with Jockton, he drew his cloak over his head and fell into an exhausted slumber. But always, during the long hours, he woke to the slashing of rain, and then the pain could not be ignored, and the thoughts were louder than ever. In the darkness, the same words echoed over and over. They who lived by the sword will perish by the sword. At first, he could not recall where he had heard these words. They did not sound like Joel's scriptures. Then he remembered. Jesus had spoken them on a hot summer morning under a blue sky. Daniel had not questioned the words. To live by the sword was the best life he knew. To take the sword for his country's freedom, and to perish by it. What better could a man hope for? But something he had not reckoned on had happened. He had taken the sword, but Samson, instead, had perished by it, who had no freedom to gain, and Nathan, who had left behind a bride. Their deaths were on his head, and freedom was farther away than before. Without the help of Jockton, he could not have managed. The boy who had come back to the village with him could not do enough to prove his gratitude. Having never in all his memory had a house to live in, Jockton was not at all troubled that he could not enter Simon's house. He was content to eat his meals in the shop or on the doorstep, where he could greet the passers-by. Far from missing the freedom of the mountain, he took naturally to village life. He went cheerfully every morning to the well for water, shrugging off the good-natured jibes of the girls. He delivered the work, making new friends everywhere with his jagged-toothed grin. Daniel's customers took the boy for a new apprentice and praised his willingness, though they doubted that with his puny arms he could ever make a blacksmith. 9 days had gone by since Joel and Thacia had returned to Capernaum, and no word had come from them. Day after day his friend's silence grew heavier to bear. Was Joel in danger? What were Joel's thoughts? In the night, did he regret now the vow he had taken? Had the feel of the Roman chains shaken his purpose? Late one evening, as he was about to climb to the rooftop, there was a knock on the door of the shop. Lighting a second saucer of oil, Daniel went through the house door and drew back the bolt. A stranger, heavily muffled in a dripping cloak, pushed in quickly and shut the door behind him. With a rush of thankfulness, Daniel saw that it was Joel. He could only clasp his friend's hand without speaking. "Did you think I wouldn't come?" Joel asked with surprise. It seemed wiser to wait. "You are watched?" "I'm afraid so. I've been out only once on the Sabbath. Coming home from the synagogue with Father, I met a steward of the centurion's. He recognized me, but I think he was not sure. So Father wouldn't let me go out again." "Your father knows?" "I'm afraid so. I've been out only once on the Sabbath. Coming home from the synagogue with Father, I met a steward of the centurion's. He recognized me, but I think he was not sure. So Father wouldn't let me go out again." "Your father knows?" "I couldn't keep it from him any longer. I told him everything, about the passageway and the meetings and my part in Rosh's work. I owed Father that, Daniel. When I saw how he had grown older in those 2 days," Joel had grown older too, his face had a new purpose. "How he must despise me," Daniel said with shame. "For saving me? He sent you a message. He says you are not to hide in the passageway again. You are to come to the house whenever you like. In a way, I wish he hadn't tried so hard to forgive us. It would have been easier tonight." "Tonight?" I left without telling him, I'm not going back. If I can't stay here with you, I'll go to the mountain and join Rosh. In a burst of relief and joy, Daniel forgot every doubt. How could he have thought that Joel would forget his vow? Now, working together, they could accomplish anything. The band would go on again, stronger than before. But almost at once, a new doubt clouded out his pleasure. Why did you leave home, Joel? The band has never asked that of anyone. I can't stay at home. Father is terrified to let me go out the door. I knew he was making some plan. Then today he told me I was to go to Jerusalem. Tomorrow morning, with a friend of his. He's arranged for me to study in a school there, so I had to get away quickly. Daniel stood looking at his friend, his mind troubled. School in Jerusalem? He asked soberly. Isn't that what you always wanted? Joel did not quite meet his eye. I used to, he admitted. That was before we started the band. Don't you still want it? I want to work for the victory. I vowed to. If you can't have me, if it isn't safe, then I'll go to the mountain. Rosh is no longer our leader, said Daniel. Joel hesitated, then said very earnestly, You must not break with Rosh because of me. It would have happened anyway, Daniel answered. I've had a lot of time to think these past days. Somehow we've been going in the wrong direction. The things we've been doing for Rosh weren't what we planned when we started the band. Attacking people on the road, especially our own people, isn't going to bring the day any closer. We haven't weakened Rome at all. We've only weakened ourselves instead. We have lost Nathan and Samson. We almost lost you. Joel was silent a moment. A new leader will come, he said. We must go on making ready. Yes, said Daniel. Hearing Joel say it had given him back the hope he had almost lost. Now he was able to say the thing he knew he must say. But until he comes, Joel, you must go on studying. That's what you are suited for. When the day comes, we are going to need more than farmers and laborers. We'll need the priests and the scribes, too, and you can win them over because you understand them. Joel had never been able to hide his thoughts. Now he could not conceal the hope that sprang into his eyes. That's what Thaisa said, he admitted. Are you sure you mean this, Daniel? I'm sure. What will the others think? They have chosen me leader. Joel thought for a moment. I'd like to do it for Father's sake, too, he admitted finally. He's a good man, Daniel. You can't know how good he is, because you've only seen his narrow side. I know that I have hurt him. He wanted to be proud of me, a son who died for Israel, even a zealot. He could be proud of that. But that day on the road, with the chains on, I knew that I had left him nothing, nothing at all to be proud of. Now you and Samson and Nathan have given me another chance. I'll never forget that. I'll do my best to make up for it. Can you get back safely tonight? I think so. But there are some things I must say first. For one thing, I brought a gift from Thaisa to Leah. She won't be able to come here alone. Right now, she's forbidden to leave the house at all. Leah will be grateful, Daniel managed, trying to hide his dismay. Joel hesitated. Do you think Leah would let me give it to her myself? He asked. You can try, Daniel answered doubtfully. She has seen you often through the door. He opened the door to the house. Leah, sitting in the lamplight, raised her golden head. Joel has brought you a gift from Thaisa, he said. He waited. Behind him, Joel stood quietly in the doorway. Leah seemed to shrink into a tight mold of fear. He could see her quiver, but she did not move, only watched with terrified blue eyes. Thaisa sent her greetings, Joel spoke very gently. She asks you not to forget her, and she will come to see you as soon as she can. He reached out softly and laid a packet on the chest near the door. Then he backed into the shop, and Daniel followed him. You realize, Daniel said with wonder, that you're the only person who has been inside that door, ever, except for your sister? Thaisa told me to try. Leah is very lovely, Daniel. I wish Thaisa sent you a message, too, by the way. Daniel felt his cheeks grow hot. 4 days from today is the Day of Atonement. First the fast, of course, and then the service at the synagogue. Why, I never thought. I'll see it at the temple in Jerusalem. I can't believe it. But I'll miss the festival here in Capernaum. The girls will dance and sing in the vineyard. Will you come to town for it? I wouldn't know how to behave, Daniel protested. Think it over. It would please Thaisa. Now the other thing is about Leah. Thaisa and I want you to know that you never need to be worried about leaving her, because we will take care of her. When the day comes, if you ever have to go away, Faisha will come, or even better, we would like to have Leah safe in our own house. He hurried on, while Daniel groped for words to thank him. Faisha is very fond of Leah. She'll miss her. Faisha is going to be lonely, I'm afraid. Daniel looked down at his hands. Father regrets now that he's allowed her so much freedom to go about with me. Faisha is spoiled. She isn't used to staying at home the way most girls do. It will be like caging a wild bird from the mountain, Daniel thought. Joel looked away then, into a far corner of the shop. Father wants to arrange a marriage for her, he said. Daniel was not even aware that his hands reached out or that his knuckles whitened around a hammer handle. There is an old friend of the family, Joel went on, but Faisha won't hear of it. It puts Father in a hard position, because no matter how he regrets it, he is bound by his own promise. You see, it's different with our family. When our mother was only 8 years old, she was betrothed. But when she was 15, my father, who was a poor student, came to do some work in her father's library, and they fell in love. It caused a terrible uproar. Her father was furious. He had to get divorce papers from the boy she had never even laid eyes on. She and father promised each other then that they would never arrange marriages for their children against their will, that they would let us choose for ourselves. Daniel did not dare to look at his friend. The trouble is, Joel said, Faisha is 16 years old, and she refuses to choose. Still, Daniel could not look up. He knew that Joel had spoken straight from his heart, with the impulsive frankness that would always be Joel's way. But he knew, too, that his friend's loyalty had always blinded him to the truth. She must choose, he burst out now, too harshly. Someone of her own kind. Your father is right, and you will have to choose, too, before long. And you? Joel asked quietly. I have no choice. How can a man who has sworn to vengeance and death take a wife? The angry words echoed in a silence that neither of them could seem to break. One more thing, Joel said finally with an effort. It is Jesus. Somehow he must be warned. He has enemies everywhere. You mean Herod's men? Asked Daniel, relieved that Joel had turned to a safe subject. He knows about those. I mean the elders of the synagogue, the rabbis and the scribes. They can't understand him. They're furious at the things he says and does. He is too free with the law. They say he is trying to destroy all the authority of the temple. Some of them even say he is in league with the devil. Does it matter what they say? Jesus pays no attention. He must pay attention now. Some of them hate him so much, I think they would kill him if they could. Will you try to warn him? Simon says he has been warned, time and time again. Go to see him, Daniel. I wish, but it's too late for me now. Perhaps we made a mistake. Maybe Jesus is really the leader we're waiting for. Then he straightened his shoulders and held out his hand. Don't forget the festival anyway, he said. Faisha will be looking for you. The two clasped hands. For God's victory, they said. Then Joel drew his cloak about his face and went out into the darkness. It is the end of everything, Daniel thought, looking at the closed door. The end of everything we worked for. For the first time, he despaired that the day would ever come.